Perek Dalet, on the top it's page Ches, at the bottom it's 14. Yeah? You know, she could sue you for taking away her job. She's the page announcer. Do you know, according to Allah, if you steal a mitzvah from somebody, you have to pay him a gold coin? That's Allah. If I steal a mitzvah away from you, and you say, hey, why did you take the mitzvah? I have to pay you. A mitzvah is worth money. What? It's a din. It's a din shunach. Huh? You were going to cross an old lady across the street, and somebody ran ahead of you and grabbed it away from you and took her instead. Okay, Perek Dalet. Dr. Eben Perek Gimel. Okay, in Perek Beis he explained what the Nefesh HaLakis, where it comes from. In Perek Gimel, Dr. Rebbe explained Nefesh HaLakis is composed of 10 levels. 3 levels of intellect, Chochma, Bina, and Das. That Dr. Rebbe explained is father, mother, and the Midas, which are the children. And Das, Dr. Rebbe explained, is binding yourself to the subject matter. That means, basically, in simple English, it means feeling. It's not enough to understand what's right and what's wrong, or understand Elokus. You actually have to feel Elokus. Because when you feel it, then the midah becomes a permanent midah, a real midah, true midah, rather than a temporary midah. So now the Alter Rebbe says like this, in addition to the 10 levels that the neshama has of intellect and emotions, yesh l'chol nefesh sholikis, every godly soul has shleisha levushim, 3 garments. The soul has 3 garments. What do you mean garments? He says, what are the garments? Shemachshava dibra maisa, thought, speech, and action of tayag mitzvah satayr, of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. Because we're talking about the godly soul, so what? We're talking about intellect of holiness, feelings of holiness. So the thought, speech, and action are thought, speech, and action of holiness, which are thoughts of Torah, speech of Torah, action of Torah. Why are these things called garments? A garment basically allows a person to reveal themselves in public. Right? That's the concept of clothing. You're able to be revealed. You're able to walk out in the street. You're able to show yourself by wearing garments. In the normal world. Okay. Now, these things reveal the nefesh. What does it mean, reveal the nefesh? It's a very simple concept. A person, let's say, knows something. A person knows 2 and 2 is 4. So let's say that's an intellectual concept. They know 2 and 2 is 4. But when you're at work, or you're cooking, or baking, or doing whatever you're doing, you don't think that 2 and 2 is 4. It's in your seichel, it's in your brain, but it's hidden. If you want to reveal that concept, so if you think about it, it reveals it to yourself. If you speak it, it reveals it to somebody else. And if you write it, it reveals it into something else. What is thought, or give me another example. You love somebody. Yeah? You love your family. So when you love your family, when you're working, you're doing other things, that thing about your family, there's no open feeling of love. Of course, the love is there, but it's hidden. It exists, but it's not being shown. When you think about your family, that awakens the love to you, because nobody else knows what you're thinking. When you speak to them and about them, and that reveals it in speech to somebody else. Somebody else can now know that you have this love of your family. And when you kiss them, give them something, or do something for them, that's action that reveals the love. So what does thought, speech, and action do? Thought, speech, and action, by the way, many people think thought is seichel. Thought is intellect. It's not. You can think the stupidest things in the world. It's not seichel. Thought is just a vehicle to reveal intellect or feelings. And therefore, when we talk about the neshama, we're talking about what reveals the intellect of the neshama, or the feelings of the neshama. Either thought reveals it to yourself, speech reveals it to somebody else, and action reveals it into something else. So besides the 10 levels of intellect and emotions, 3 intellects, 7 emotions, every nefesh has the garments, meaning those things that reveal the levels of the neshama. You want to reveal intellect to yourself, you think it, but nobody else can know it. You speak it, you reveal it to somebody else, and like we said, action reveals it into something else. So he says now like this. Now the Rebbe explains what each one means. When a person fulfills with action, kol tariyag mitzvahs maisis, all action mitzvahs, uvedibur and with speech, hu esig befeirish kol tariyag mitzvahs, he explains the mitzvahs, v'chaseim and the halachas, or b'machshava with his thought, hu masig, he understands and grasps, kol ma'she'ev shalei lahasig, whatever he's able to understand, b'pardis hatera. Pardis actually means an orchard, but Pardis is an acronym for the 4 parts of Torah: Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. Pshat is the simple meaning, Remez is the hinted meaning, like numerical values and acronyms and all that. Drush is the homiletical part of Torah, and Sod is the secrets of Torah. So when a person speaks Torah, does Torah, or thinks Torah, had a klolus tariag evori nafshe, the 613 organs of his soul, melubashim b'tayag mitzvahs ha-Torah, dress themselves into the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. Here the Alter Rebbe is parenthetically saying another interesting concept. You know, God gave us 613 mitzvahs, right? 248 positive, 365 negative. And what is a mitzvah supposed to do? It's supposed to connect us to God. And if he gave us a few less, it would be so bad. He gives 630. He couldn't give us 100 is not enough. He wants to connect us to him, so give us 100 mitzvahs. What's this number 6? Where does it come from? 613. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining that the neshama has 613 organs, and each mitzvah connects a particular part of the nefesh of the neshama to Hashem, that only that organ becomes connected through that mitzvah. And as we know, just in a general sense, certain mitzvahs you do with your hands, certain mitzvahs you do with your mouth, certain mitzvahs you do with your brain, and certain mitzvahs you do with your foot, and certain mitzvahs you do with your stomach. Why? Because Hashem gave us mitzvahs to do with our mouth, that our mouth should become connected to Him, bound with Hashem. Our mouth should become holy. He gave us mitzvahs with our hands, that the hands should become holy, and the feet, and every part. So generally speaking, in the neshama, there's 613 organs. And therefore, when a person does all the mitzvahs of the Torah, this entire soul, composed of 613 organs, dresses themselves into the clothing. What are the clothing of the neshama? The thought of mitzvahs, speech of mitzvahs, and action mitzvahs. That's the way the soul puts itself into the garments, and he explains that the garments are really Torah mitzvahs, which is one thing with Hashem. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining there are garments, and the Alter Rebbe is going to say an interesting concept. L'cheira, a person is greater than the garments, but here in Yiddishkeit, the garments are greater than the soul. Thought, speech, and action of Torah is even greater than the soul. And the soul needs to dress itself into the garments to fulfill its mission of being elevated to a higher level. Because Torah is one thing with God. And therefore the neshama has to come into these garments to connect itself to Hashem. And he says like this, Ubepratius, and in more detail, the intellect of his nefesh, melubeshes basagas haTorah, dresses itself into the understanding of Torah. Shumasig bepardis, that a person is able to understand in pshat remez drush and sod. What do you mean able to understand? Kviyachelus hasegasei, based on the ability of their understanding. V'sheidesh nafshe lemaila, and based on the level of your soul. And here the Alter Rebbe says another interesting point. How much of godliness can we understand? There's two parts. Number one, the level of brain you have. you have a better brain, you get more. Leave the option out the other way. You get less. And it also depends, Alter Rebbe says, based on the level of your neshama. If you have a greater neshama, you could reach a deeper level of understanding of Torah than if you have a lower level of neshama. Now, like we learned before, whether my level of neshama is not up to me. So if I have a lower neshama, I'm expected to understand less. But understanding of Elokus is based on two things. Based on your understanding, the Alter Rebbe says, Hasegasei, and based on the source of your soul, where it comes from. And this explains an interesting thing that the Baal Shem Tov once said. The Baal Shem Tov said, any question in Torah he's asked, he will answer. And any statement anybody says in Torah, the Baal Shem Tov will refute. So it's explained, how could he do that? The Baal Shem Tov basically said, any question you ask me, I'll answer. And any statement you say, I could refute. So the answer is very simple. A question in a lower level, in a higher level, it's not a question, it's understood. Right? That in the world of Bria, which is lower than Atzilus, in Bria, there's a question. You don't understand something. So in Atzilus, it's answered. Just like in Gashmias. If a younger person or not a smart person has a question, a smarter person can answer the question. Because they have a higher level of intellect. And because they have a higher level of intellect, a question in a lower level is not a question. They can answer it. The same thing goes in reverse, by the way. You have, they tell a story with Rabbi Kiva Eger. The famous Rabbi Kiva Eger was known for his brilliance and his questions and he was unbelievably brilliant in learning. And he happened to have a lot of questions in the Gemara. In fact, he wrote a commentary on the side of the Gemara. A lot of questions in the Gemara. And he once came into a simple shul with a bunch of simple people who was in the Gemara class. And, you know, the rabbi was teaching the Gemara class, and he was explaining the Gemara, and everybody understood the Gemara. And, you know, they finished their class, and everybody closed the Gemaras, and they were happy, they understood the Gemara, and they went home. And he started crying. Rabbi Kivega started crying. He says, look at this. They understand the Gemara, and I don't. But his not understanding was on a much greater level than their understanding. So on their level of understanding, he can ask him a question that they won't understand, because he was on a higher level. The Baal Shem Tov's neshama was so great that any question that you asked, he could reach a higher level and answer it, and any statement you said, he could reach a higher level and ask a question on it. Because his neshama was so great, he could reach a higher level than any person who's going to ask him any question. Mm. What?
Well, I'm just going to say that sometimes if you had a question, to them it may not be a question if you're on a lower level.
Correct. Yeah, and the lower level of understanding. Listen, take a pasuk in Chumash. The first pasuk in Chumash. Yeah, a kid goes to first grade, whatever grade, they start learning Chumash. And the kid learns Bereishis Bara Elokim, the teacher teaches him. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Comes home, does the homework beautifully, he knows the pasuk, gets a test, gets 100 on the test. He knows the Chumash beautifully, right? And he does. But the problem is, the greatest of minds didn't even begin to understand that pasuk. Right? Rabbi Kiva didn't understand that pasuk. The pasuk is infinitely deep. Does that mean that the kid didn't understand it? Torah says the kid got 100 on his test. He knows the pasuk beautifully. On his level, he knows the pasuk beautifully. But in a higher level, it's completely not understood. Right? So the Baal Shem Tov said, you tell me a statement. I can reach a higher level because of his neshama, and he can show you difficulty that you don't begin to understand the pasuk. And that's what Alter Rebbe is saying over here. When a person understands and grasps in Torah based on the level of their brain, of their intellect, and based on the level of their neshama. Their neshama can see things in Torah that lower neshamas can't see. Darizal, at a Shabbos afternoon, half an hour nap. We should have such naps. Would probably be not restful. Darizal, in a half an hour Shabbos nap, saw enough godliness to talk 80 years. In a half an hour nap. Last time we napped, I won't tell you what we saw. Definitely not enough to talk 70 or 80 years. I wasn't there. I didn't ask him. I didn't ask him how he did it. There are levels in the shamas that, you know, get it.
Does that mean you could tell by looking at someone if they're like a holy, righteous person who...
Looks are deceiving.
That's for sure. But
for
let's
sure.
Say it's a righteous person, a truly righteous person.
It takes one to know one, though.
You can see that that person has a high level.
How can you see? Can't see. No.
Maybe they're not even for who they are. They should be doing more.
No, there's no way that we can see a rabbi could see a neshama. Look at somebody, see what the neshama is. We can't even look at the body and know what the body is. The neshama.
No, but
they have garments, right? You can get a clue through garments. So
they can go out with
a
thoughts of each action. I don't know the thoughts. No.
How can you tell the greatness or the lack of greatness of a person?
You tell a little bit.
How many times do people think somebody is great? And then? The more they get to know him, let's be realistic. All marriages start that the partner is great. Then what happens? It happens, what happens? No? A tzaddik who sees neshama, we see goof. Okay, let's be realistic. Let's not dream that we see body. We don't see neshama. A tzaddik looks at somebody, they see neshama. They can tell the neshama what it is and what level it is and what is expected from them, what they can do and everything. We see body because we look with physical eyes. They look with spiritual eyes. You can see deeper. But there's no way we can know. Yeah, I mean, after a while you can tell somebody is a great person, not a great person, but that, and also then what do you know? You know nothing. And you know what? The more you learn, the less you know. Okay, so he says, V'amidus, she'en yiris, yira v'avo, the midus, which are love and fear, or fear and love. V'anfeim, v'tod the same, and the branches and offshoots, m'lubashes, b'kim, amitzvahs. So he says like this, generally speaking, intellect dresses itself into the learning of Torah, and feelings dress themselves into the action of the mitzvahs. With action or speech, which is Torah, which is equal to all mitzvahs. And he says, why? He says like this, ki ahava, love, is shedesh koda mach mitzvahs asay, is the source of all positive mitzvahs. U'mimena hein nimshachim, and nimshachis, and they're drawn from love. And Alter Rebbe is explaining now as follows. There are two basic feelings, love and fear. And there are two types of mitzvahs, positive and negative. What do positive mitzvahs do? When a Jew actively does a positive mitzvah, it connects you to Hashem. When you don't eat chazer, when you keep a negative mitzvah, it does not connect you to God. That's why, as we learned, you don't make a bracha on a negative mitzvah. If somebody's about to eat treif, and they don't, you don't make a bracha shekitshanu b'mitzvahs v'tzivanu not to eat treif. Or if somebody is about to speak Lashon Hara, and I don't know what happened, and they decide to stop, They don't make a bracha shekitshanu b'mitzvase v'tzivanu not to speak Lashon Hara. It'll be a bracha in vain anyway. But you don't make a bracha not to speak Lashon Hara. On positive mitzvahs, you make a bracha. On negative mitzvahs, you don't. What's the difference between positive and negative mitzvahs? Positive mitzvah, an action, binds me to Hashem. A negative mitzvah, if I sin, it tears me away from Hashem. But not eating chazer does not bind me to Hashem. If I eat chazer, then I separate myself from Hashem. But not eating chazer, keeping the negative mitzvah, not eating chazer, doesn't bind me to Hashem. Therefore, when you love somebody, you want to be close to them. When you fear somebody, you don't want to rebel against them. I'm not talking about fear that's going to beat you up. If somebody fears Hashem, it's not because they're afraid or on a higher level, because they're going to get punished. It's they don't want to rebel against them. They don't want to separate themselves from them. That's not love. Love is when you want to attach yourself to somebody. Fear causes you not to transgress a negative commandment. In halacha, in a physical example in halacha, there's a mitzvah of honoring your parents, and there's a mitzvah of fearing your parents. Ish imei v'avir tiro. And all the kids that are in the room should please listen very carefully.
Those who have children.
I'm talking about the kids, not the parents. What does honoring your parents mean? Honoring your parents in halacha means dressing them, feeding them, right? Doing action, positive things for them. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, when it says fearing parents means don't contradict their words, don't sit in their seat, don't, all the don'ts, basically. Honoring is an act, a positive act. Fear is a negative thing. Don't sit in their seat, it's not respectful. Don't be disrespectful. Now, in Indian, even forgetting, I'm not talking about little kids that if they sit in their parents' seat, they're going to get a patch. I'm talking about older people won't sit in their parents' seat, or they're not supposed to, out of fear. It's not the fear that the 90-year-old parent is going to patch the 50-year-old for sitting in their seat. What it means is, it's disrespectful. They don't want to do anything that would separate themselves from their parents. But it's not an act of love to attach themselves to him. Positive actions come from love. Negative actions come from fear. And Alter Rebbe explains, therefore, when you have positive mitzvahs and negative mitzvahs, love, ava, is the source of all positive mitzvahs. Fear is the source of all negative mitzvahs. And therefore, by Aseres HaDibris, we hear the first two of the Ten Commandments directly from Hashem. What are they? Anechi Hashem Elokecha, positive. Don't have any other gods, which is a negative. Love is the source of all positive mitzvahs. Fear is the source of all negative mitzvahs. So now, the Rebbe is explaining like this. When a person's intellect of the neshama dresses itself into the seichel of Torah, based on what they're able to understand, so their intellect is bound in the garment of thought, primarily. When they do a mitzvah, that is the midas of love and fear, so speech and action. This basically is the concept of love and fear, which are the two midas that causes the reason of observing mitzvahs. Why does a person want to put on tefillin, or why do they want to light Shabbos candles, or do a positive mitzvah? Because I love Hashem, I want to be close to Hashem. How do you get close to Hashem? By doing what Hashem tells you to do. When you do an action, it brings you closer. How do you want to not separate yourself from Hashem? That's by doing a negative, by keeping the negative commandments. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining that the garments of the soul is basically that those levels that the soul dresses itself into, so to speak, to be able to connect itself to Hashem. And he says, love is the positive mitzvah. Like he says, ubalada, without love, ein lohem kiyam amiti, it will not have a true existence, meaning it won't be an enthusiastic existence. an enthusiastic connection. If you love somebody and they ask you to do something, you enjoy doing it because you want to be with them. If you do it because you have to do it, not out of love, you'll do it. But there's no chayis, there's no real, true existence. It's not a real action that has life to it. Do it. But there's no real action to it, real feeling of it. And he says, that's why enam kiyam amiti. He says, because ki amakayimim ba'emes, who keeps mitzvahs truthfully? Who are ayev Hashem, Hashem, one that loves Hashem, v'chavetz davka be'emes, and they want to cling to Hashem realistically, v'yavshin l'davka be'emes, and you can't cling to Hashem with truth, ki em v'kiyam l'mach b'kudim, only by keeping the 248 positive mitzvahs, which are the 248 organs of Hashem, and fear, like he says, is the source of negative mitzvahs. There's a very simple, and we'll finish with this. Just take it just a few minutes, so we'll finish with this. Many people say, I don't need a mitzvah to connect me to God. Many people say, non-religious Jews, will tell me and God understand each other. We have a connection. I have God in my heart, or as we call them, a cardiac Jew. They have God in their heart, they feel God, and they're close to God, and they don't need all these mitzvahs to connect them to God. This is a very common statement that people say. Besides the fact that it's not correct according to Torah, it's really ridiculous. Because the only way finite can be connected to infinite, the only way limited can be connected to unlimited, is on unlimited terms, on God's terms, not on our terms. Can you imagine, a kid will tell, I can't imagine, when kids tell the parents, listen, I don't need to listen to you, to me, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to have a relationship with you on my terms. I mean, every kid, when they become a parent, knows how ridiculous that is. Because you want a connection to the parents, it's on the parents' term, because they're calling the shots. You want to have a connection to them, it can't be on your terms. And this is already finite with finite. When you're dealing with Hashem, it's mathematically impossible for finite to become connected to infinite. Finite can never reach infinite. Unlimited can never reach unlimited. The only way it could happen is when Hashem, who's the infinite, calls you in and say, listen, kid, do this. And when we do it, because he's commanding us to do it, we connect ourselves to the infinite. But it has to be on his terms. And Alter Rebbe therefore said, you can't connect yourself to Hashem. You can't cling to Hashem unless you do mitzvahs. There's no other way you can. Because mathematically, finite cannot reach infinite, no matter what you do. You mean in the paintings? What do you mean?
No, you said that fear without love is like it's without chayas.
No, I'm saying mitzvah without love is without chayas. A positive mitzvah, in order for it to be a living mitzvah, you need to love Hashem. Then the mitzvah becomes living. Love and fear, as we're going to learn next time, are the two wings of the bird that make it fly up. A bird with one wing is not going anywhere. You need both wings. Love and fear are the two wings that make the bird fly up. But the Alter Rebbe is saying over here is, in order to do positive, the Alter Rebbe is explaining why love is the source of all positive mitzvahs. In order to come to do a mitzvah properly, with feeling, you need to love Hashem. If you don't love Hashem, you're going to do a mitzvah as habit, as forced. Let me get out of it. And this is, I mean, next week, I don't want to, it's a whole long concept. Whether Jews do Judaism because they have to or because they want to. It's worlds apart. It's not only, they could be doing the same mitzvah. Okay? But if you do a mitzvah, if you remind me next week, I'll elaborate on it because it's a fundamental concept, by the way, in today's Yiddishkeit. If you do a mitzvah because you have to, or you do a mitzvah because I want to. There's a world apart. You can't even compare the two mitzvahs. The action is the same. They're both putting on tefillin. One is connected, one is disconnected. To be continued.